Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled 17 Business Tips for New or Relatively New Companies. Tom, we are both well aware that most new company owners have very little training when it comes to the business side of their business. Yet, there are very few basics that every company owner needs to be aware of, don't you think?
Absolutely, Bill. I mean, if all new company owners would simply implement the 17 foundational business tips they're going to cover in this presentation, they would literally be light years ahead of their competition. We're going to cover tips on setting up initial hourly rates, creating a separate payroll checking account, tips on collections, utilizing QuickBooks, funding for dissatisfied customers, and a whole host of other topics as well.
Well, you've done a great job. There really are some very helpful business tips that will jumpstart any new company. Hopefully, you'll not only put these principles into practice in your company, but you'll also share these tips with other young contractors. Most listening to this series are very familiar with Tom Grandy. Tom is the founder of Grandy & Associates and a frequent contributor to this audio series. Although semi-retired, Tom continues to work in the business every day, primarily performing two-day on-site company overviews. And now, with 17 business tips for new or relatively new companies, here's Tom Grandy with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
To set the stage for today's presentation, think back a number of years when you first attempted to ride a two-wheel bike. How'd it go? Chances are you fell a couple of times, but got back up on the bike and tried again. When you could finally ride on your own, you were still probably a little bit wobbly, or at least at first. But after some practice, you were riding like a champ. Did anybody help you along the way? Well, depending on your age, one of your parents probably helped you through the process. When you fell, they dusted you off, provided a couple practical suggestions, and you were then encouraged to try again. Most of us did not learn on our own. Someone else helped us. The process I just described is similar, in a lot of ways, to how many listening to this presentation started out in business. Most used to be a tech, working for someone else. One day a little light bulb went off, and we decided to go into business for ourselves. Nothing wrong with that process. That's how 90% of the current owners in the entire trades industry got started. The problem, however, is similar to trying to ride a bike for the first time. We'd never done it before. It looks easy from the outside, just like watching someone else ride a bike. However, when we try it ourselves, we realize that there's just a bit more to the learning curve than originally thought. This presentation is specifically designed for three groups of contractors. First, for the tech that's thinking about going into business for themselves. As we've all been told over a number of years, we need to count the cost before we move forward. This presentation will provide a bit of insight into running a business that you might not have originally considered. The second group, and perhaps the most important, is a contractor that's just starting out. The things I'm going to share, if applied, will place you light years, that's right, light years ahead of your competition. And the last group of contractors are those that have been in business for less than 5 years. This group has found out that running a business from the business standpoint is just a bit more challenging than they'd originally anticipated. Many of the tips we're going to talk about will help you become more organized and therefore more profitable. So let's get started. The first area deals with positioning yourself within the labor pricing model. All new company owners are going to begin by working in the field. Likewise, nearly all company owners will eventually make the transition from the field into the office. If you've been following Grandy & Associates for a number of years, you recall that when the owner transitions from the field into the office, their salary then becomes an overhead cost. The additional overhead generally requires a company to increase its hourly rate by somewhere between $8 and $12 an hour just to make the same profit. That's right. The additional overhead of you moving into the office generally requires that you increase your hourly rate by $8 to $12 an hour just to make the same profit. In order to ease that transition a bit, consider setting your initial hourly rates with this tip in mind. When setting your initial hourly rates, consider building yourself in as field labor and, at the same time, putting yourself in overhead as the owner. The net result will be that your salary will be built into the pricing model twice. You'll be in the field and in the office. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, there's two very good reasons. First, cash flow. The extra salary will build up the company's cash flow reserves. Cash flow, or actually the lack of cash flow, is a second leading killer of trades companies today, right behind improper labor pricing. It takes a huge amount of cash to run a company. It takes cash to fund increased inventory and receivables, not to mention the ability to pay your suppliers on time. It also takes a lot of cash to fund the growth of the company and a whole lot more. Placing yourself in the pricing model in the field and in the office will generate some extra cash that will help fund those things during those initial critical years. Second reason you'd want to do it, build yourself into the pricing model twice, is to ease the inevitable transition from the field into the office. When the owner is already built into the model as an overhead cost, while also being in the field, there won't be any need to dramatically increase the company's hourly rate when the transition is made. The additional dollars will already be accounted for. Next, let's talk about a chart of accounts. Is that exciting or what? When it comes to understanding the business side of the business, the foundation stone is having accurate numbers to review on a monthly basis. Setting up a formal chart of accounts right from the beginning will prove invaluable as time goes on. Very few companies track their gross sales by department, or at least by the type of services they offer. Also, cost of goods is a big one. Companies that do track sales by department seldom, very seldom, break out material purchases by department. Having worked with companies one-on-one since 1987, I can honestly say less than a handful, that's right, less than a handful, have tracked material purchases by department. Most companies start out doing one thing. However, as we discussed, most end up doing service, new construction, commercial work, retail, or any number of other services. At some point in the company's life, you're going to want to departmentalize your company. It's really tough going back to break things out. My suggestion, track sales and track cost of sales by department to begin with. Years from now, you're going to give me a call and tell me how glad you are that you did that from the very beginning. Now, having said that, few company owners have any idea what the term chart of accounts even means, much less what items to include in them. That brings up the next area, which is QuickBooks. Roughly 85% of all trades companies use QuickBooks. It's a great program, and I use it myself. I would strongly suggest the new or relatively new owner invest a few extra dollars and hire a QuickBooks representative, as opposed to a CPA, to help you initially set up your chart of accounts. CPAs are great people, and they're needed and they're necessary, but most are trained primarily to handle taxes. Your company needs to be set up by someone who understands business. and can therefore help you set up accounts that will properly reflect your business needs. Good record keeping from the beginning pays off down the road. Now let's talk about entering data into QuickBooks. Don't let your CPA or accountant enter the company's monthly revenue and expenses. That's worth saying a second time. Don't let your CPA or accountant enter the company's monthly revenue and expenses. That seems like a great idea. It's simple and it's easy to have done. Have somebody on the outside enter the data for you into QuickBooks. However, they literally don't know where costs belong. Have someone inside the office enter the data. If there's a question where an expense goes, the answer is only a few steps away. The real benefit is when the owner or staff member wants to review the P&L statement at the end of the month. The internal person will be able to instantly click a couple of buttons in order to view any detail they might want to review. Next, review financials with your CPA monthly. Finding a good CPA is both difficult and vitally important. The trades industry, as general, assumes, since CPAs work with numbers, they understand business. That is a false assumption, and that's worth repeating also. Finding a really good CPA is difficult and vitally important. The trades industry assumes, since CPAs work with numbers, they understand business. That is a false assumption. If you're able to find a good CPA that understands business as well as accounting, hire them. No matter what they charge, they will save you money. With that said, be sure to review your financials with your CPA by the 10th of the following month, every month. Don't skip a month. If the CPA is unable to routinely review your numbers and have them ready by the 10th, and or is not asking you questions about your business at each meeting you have, it's time to find another CPA. The next area concerns how often to recalculate your hourly rates. The company's hourly rates should be reviewed at least twice a year, and or whenever a significant cost of doing business occurs. Let's face it, the cost of doing business goes up month after month. Any increase in the cost of doing business is going to necessitate a change in pricing to the customer. Review the company's total cost of doing business at least twice a year and adjust pricing as necessary. However, if any significant increases in the cost of doing business occur during the year, the company best adjusts the hourly rate right away. Remember, any increase in the cost of doing business will result in the need to do one of two things. Option one is to adjust pricing, therefore passing the additional cost on to the customer in the form of an increased hourly rate. This move will maintain the company's profitability. That's what should happen. Option two is to do nothing. In that case, the extra cost will be absorbed by the company. And guess what happens? It lowers the company's net profit. Remember, even if overhead cost has not gone up, there's a very high probability that the cost of materials and/or parts have increased. Next area, next recommendation, join a mixed group. Let's face it, nobody knows everything. However, spending time with other contractors within your trade will provide a wealth of information that will never be found at a seminar or conference. Gleaning ideas from other successful contractors can literally be the difference between success and failure. It's strongly suggested the company become part of a mixed group. Mixed group is simply a group of usually 4 to 6 contractors who do similar types of work, but are located in non-competing territories. This group generally meets 2 to 4 times a year, during which times they share good, the bad, and the ugly about their businesses. Input from peers outside of your company can be invaluable in terms of growing the company. Remember, pride comes before the fall. That's right, pride comes before the fall. Be willing to receive outside suggestions, especially if they come from contractors that have been in business much longer than you have. Here's another great suggestion. Have the office manager take out $100 a week out of the company checkbook and put it in a personal savings account. Saving money is tough, especially when the company is young. However, saving a little bit consistently can produce significant savings over time. I can promise you, absolutely promise you, taking $100 out of the company checkbook once a week will not cause any company to fail. Saving $100 a week equates to $5,200 a year in savings, plus growth. The stock markets historically averages a return of 10 to 12% over time. Saving $100 a week over 5 years result in savings in excess of $35,000. Over 10 years, the number grows to nearly $100,000. The key, and this is it, the key is to have the office person, not you, have the office person take the $100 out each week and place it in a mutual fund for you. Tell them not to ask questions, just do it. I can't tell you how many contractors have come up to me at national conventions to tell me that's the best thing they ever did for themselves. Have you ever had a dissatisfied customer? I'm sure you have. We all have. Sometimes it's a justified problem and sometimes not. However, from the customer's standpoint, perception is truth. There will be times when the company will need to pay out some money, justified or not, to a dissatisfied customer. It always hurts when money has to be spent in that way. The solution is to build 1 to 2% of the company's estimated gross sales into overhead, just like rent, utilities, insurance, etc. The 1 to 2% that becomes part of the overhead cost would be called something like 100% customer satisfaction, and therefore becomes part of the company's hourly rate. 1 or 2% of $500,000 in gross sales is $5,000 to $10,000. That's a pretty nice pool to draw from should the need arise. It's a lot easier to be pleasant when the money doesn't seem to come out of your pocket. If you don't need to spend the $5,000 or $10,000 during the year, great. The company just increased its bottom line by a few thousand dollars. Credit cards is another issue we need to discuss. Build credit card fees into the company's overhead. Credit cards are a fact of life. A huge percentage of customers are paying by credit card, and the percentage is steadily growing. Some contractors use credit cards because they lack funds. Some customers use credit cards because they lack funds. Others do it to utilize the benefits or the points that are offered. No matter the reason, the company is going to have to pay 1 to 3% for accepting their credit card. Ouch, that hurts. The answer is, again, build the cost of the company's overhead into the hourly rate. Some companies simply build 1 to 3% of their total gross sales into the overhead. Let me say that again. Some companies simply build 1 to 3% of their total gross sales into the overhead as a cost. And the benefits can be significant. First, If the customer uses a credit card, the fee is already built into the rate. Use of the credit card didn't affect the company's net profit. Secondly, if the customer chooses to pay with cash or check, the company can offer a 2% discount if payment's made by a specific time. This helps collections and cash flow. And lastly, if the customer fails to pay on time, there's a 2% late fee already built into the pricing. Give this idea some serious thought. How to handle payroll dollars is another area we need to talk about. My suggestion is to create a totally separate payroll checking account. Again, my suggestion is to create a totally separate payroll checking account. Out of sight, out of mind. When payroll taxes, that is, individual, state, and federal withholding taxes and the company matching taxes, are left in the company's operating checkbook, there's a tendency to want to use those funds for other purposes. Taxes, all taxes, will need to be paid in full and on time. Let me say that again. Taxes, all taxes, need to be paid in full on time. Failure to do so can get very expensive, even including jail time. The answer is to shift all payroll dollars, including company matching taxes, into a totally separate payroll checking account. When checks are written out of the account, the individual's withholding taxes and the company's matching taxes remain and are therefore available when those taxes need to be paid. Shifting payroll taxes into a totally separate checking account reduces the possibility of misusing those funds. Now let's talk about collections for a couple of minutes. I strongly suggest the company create a formal written collections policy. Written collections policy right from the beginning. Cash flow is critical, and getting paid on time is a huge piece of the puzzle. It's suggested that the company create a formal written collections policy early in its life. Now let me clarify something. There is a huge difference between having a written collections policy and actually going by it on a daily basis. You might remember cash flow is a second leading killer of small businesses, right behind improper labor pricing. Having and utilizing a formal collections policy will increase cash flow. The better the cash flow is within the company, the less stress there will be on your life. Next topic, do you get a deposit on your jobs? Over the years, we here at Granny & Associates have routinely ask contractors during our seminars if they get a deposit on jobs. Typically, less than half the class raise their hand. Those that do get deposits routinely get anywhere from a third to 50% down. Now, why don't the rest of the contractors in the room get deposits? You got it. They don't ask. Getting a deposit on a job achieves two things. First, money up front, when properly handled, pays for materials and helps cash flow. Handling it properly is kind of like handling payroll money, like we talked about earlier. In this case, set up a totally different savings account at the bank. When a deposit is received, deposit into the company's operating account. Now the income is accounted for properly. Then, the same day, if at all possible, transfer the deposit money online from the company's operating account into the company's savings account. Let the funds accumulate until you receive an invoice from your distributor. Then transfer the money from the savings account back into the operating account and pay the bill on time. The principle is simple. Any money showing in your operating account seems like it could be spent. Therefore, it often is. When material dollars are sitting in the company's savings account, you're less likely to spend it. The other benefit of getting a deposit involves the possibility of customers having the work done by someone else, should they get tired of waiting during the busy season. Having a signed contract is great, but if the customer gets tired of waiting and has someone else do the work, what are you going to do? Sue them? Not likely. However, if you've got 25 to 50% of the customer's money in your pocket, it's highly unlikely that they're going to get somebody else to do the job. Let's talk about service. Service is a cash cow, but only if the money is collected. Make every effort to collect service on the spot. Cash flow is king. When calling your service customer to inform them that the tech is on the way, ask this question. Mr. and Mrs. Jones, will you be paying cash, check, or credit card? We don't invoice. This preps the customer and helps the tech collect at the completion of the repair. Does your company have a line of credit? If not, it should. Every company, no matter how good their cash flow may be, needs to have a line of credit in place. When do you set it up? When you don't need it. That's right. Set it up at the bank when things are going great and there's money in the bank. It's hard, if not impossible, to set up a line of credit when you need it. It needs to be set up before the need arises. Say it again, line of credit needs to be set up before the need arises. Before I make a couple of comments on the use of a line of credit, we need to talk about a line of credit in general from the bank's perspective. From the bank's perspective, the perfect customer with a line of credit looks like this. Money is routinely borrowed every month or two, but the banker likes to see that line of credit paid back to zero at least once or twice a year. In other words, they want to see lots of activity, but they want to see it paid back to zero at least once or twice a year. Now, a couple of comments on a line of credit. First comment deals with the intended use of a line of credit. The intended purpose of a line of credit is for short-term borrowing against receivables. When the company finds out that that $25,000 check that was expected today isn't going to be here for 30 days, that's when the company goes to the line of credit. They borrow the $25,000, pay payrolls, take care of overhead costs, etc. However, when the $25,000 check comes in, the line of credit is paid back to zero. That's how a line of credit is supposed to be utilized. Second comment, never borrow money on your line of credit for general operating expenses or to purchase equipment. If the line of credit is being used to fund receivables, take it as a red flag. There's something else going on within the company that's causing the shortfall. Find out what it is. And lastly, if the company has a line of credit but hasn't used it in a year, maybe 2 years, do this. Borrow $10,000 or $20,000 on it and put the money in a savings account in a different bank. Next, pay the money back over the next 30, 60, 90 days. If the bank doesn't see activity on their line of credit, they tend to cut it off without warning. Show activity, even if you don't need the money. Show some activity on it. Next, let's look at a suggestion for keeping credit cards paid off. Consider setting up a liability account specifically for credit cards. keeping credit cards paid off can be a big deal. Money gets spent, that is, placed on your credit card, and it's often forgotten. Well, at least it's forgotten until the statement comes around. A simple way of handling this situation is to set up a physical liability account at your local bank. Each time a credit card is used, simply transfer the money online from the business account to the liability account. This ensures all credit card money is saved and eliminates the false assumption that dollars are available in the operating account to cover the bill when in fact it may not be. When the credit card bill comes in, the company simply transfers the money again online from the liability account back into the credit card for payment. Also, note that each charge is entered into the liability account. The dollars are assigned to an expense account at that time within the chart of accounts. So when the credit card is paid, the dollars automatically flow into QuickBooks chart of accounts. If credit cards are used, this can be a really, really big deal and a great idea. The last thing I want to talk about is paying material suppliers on time and taking discounts. Materials, parts, and equipment make up a huge portion of what the company spends each month. Many companies, especially those that are not priced properly, find themselves falling behind in timely payments to their suppliers. On the flip side, companies that pay on time can often earn significant discounts over the course of a year. Consider the following. Proper pricing. Developing profitable hourly rates is fundamental to paying suppliers on time. If the company is unable to pay its bills, not just material suppliers, any of its bills, take it as a red flag that the labor rates need to be adjusted. Deposits. Fundamental to paying suppliers on time involves getting deposits on jobs. The deposit money, when properly handled, can fund the payment of material suppliers, which is the next point. Properly handling deposit money. I mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to say it again. Getting deposit is one thing. Handling it properly is another. Once the deposit is secured, handle it like credit card purchases. First, deposit the money into the operating fund so it's accounted for properly. But the same day, transfer the deposit money into a liability account so it doesn't show up in the operating account. Do that on all jobs sold. And when the company is invoiced for materials, parts, and equipment purchases, simply transfer the dollars back from the liability account into the operating account and pay the bill. By the way, handling deposits in this way will also allow the company to pay on time, therefore receiving discounts when offered. 1%, 2%, or 3% of the company's total material purchases can pick up a lot of money on an annual basis. Also, be aware that typically less than 15% of all contractors routinely pay their material suppliers on time. Also, less than 2% to 3% routinely pay within the 10-day period and take the discounts. Paying your bills on time has two major benefits. Obviously, taking discounts saves money. However, paying on time also creates unbelievable relationships between the contractor and the distributor. From the distributor, cash flow is king. The more money that comes in, the more stuff he can put on the shelf, the more things he can sell. So those contractors that pay on time are gold when it comes to the distributor. Those relationships can come in really handy when extra discounts are needed on those big jobs or payments might be just a little bit late. So again, these are several tips that hopefully, if you'll just apply a few of them, will help you from a profitability standpoint, help you get your company organized a little bit, Just go through the list again, pick one or two of them, work on them, and then maybe pick up one or two more. Appreciate you spending time with me today. Thank you.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.